Talking today with Terry Dietrich, president of the American Farmers and Ranchers. And Terry, we're down here to the final days of 2016. It's been an interesting year for Oklahoma agriculture, farmers and ranchers in our state. Good wheat crop, among other things, that we can, you know, say that we're glad to have had.
You bet, Ron. And that good wheat crop was a blessing. The fact that there was a good wheat crop worldwide is working against us right now. And I really think we're looking at 2 to 3 years to work out of it, unless there is a major catastrophe in another major wheat growing or really grain crops in general area around the world. And we don't wish that on anybody. We sure hope that it doesn't happen here. Yes, our prices are really depressed. And frankly, there were a lot of yields last year that were double their normal yield. And with half the price, hopefully they can pay their bills. However, indications are that accounts receivables are really mounting up in our local cooperatives and in input suppliers otherwise, and that's a real concern. They're going to have trouble surviving also.
Along those lines, how do you feel that the safety net that we do have in place from the 2014 Farm Bill, has it helped us for the most part?
Well, I'm thankful for what it is. One part of the program, the PLC, price loss coverage, those folks may get a pretty good payment this year, some help. Otherwise, maybe not. As we look forward, one of our big challenges for the future is going to be to reexamine this Farm Bill. And we've got to start working now. There needs to be some assistance now, or a lot of people will not be around then. We've got just a lot of producers that are really in dire straits. And I had an economics professor in New Mexico State University when I spoke this summer out at Santa Fe. He was on the program. I asked him to do a graph for me comparing the mid-80s to where we are today. And I lived through those mid-80s. I know what devastation there was there. A lot of people did not survive. Mm-hmm. And except for the price of interest, everything else has fallen into place, and the graphs look identical. Mm-hmm. And it was scary. Right. And I used that as a backdrop on the screen when I spoke to the agriculture mediation people in Santa Fe at their national meeting. I think there are some of those times that's yet to come. Mm-hmm. I think it's at a time when we realize why rural America and those of us who depend on the good Lord for the right weather and the right growing conditions to celebrate the reason for the season and know we've got a partner in this, and we'll get through with our faith, and we've been there before, and we'll get there, we'll get through it again.
Right. Let's talk about maybe some lessons that we had to learn, maybe the hard way, through the right to farm, just the entire structure of going from the time that the legislature passed it a year ago through the campaign this last year. We obviously came up pretty short on yes votes. What did that tell you?
Well, Ron, I think there's a lot of things we can learn there, and I try to find the positives. And one is we've not done a good job. I wish we had more people like you that could help the average non-agriculture producer to better understand agriculture. We've not done as good a job as we need to have. That's why we saw the need to have our first rural-to-urban reception with Tulsa mayor last week at the farm show in Tulsa. And I consider it a real success, and I think it needs to be an annual event, if not more often. We did not anticipate properly. We didn't anticipate the lengths to which the no promoters would take. And, you know, they camouflaged it all in water and corporate takeover. And we already have protections on both of those fronts, but the average voter did not realize that. And I think a lot of people actually – I know a lot of people voted no that actually thought that was the thing they needed to do to help farmers and ranchers. So did we not tell the right story, or did we just not tell the story right? I'm not sure. But I did find it interesting after all of that camouflage of water and corporate takeover that at the end of the day, the real reason for the no vote came from a statement from Drew Edmondson. It's been a good day for the animals. And ironically, the same day that that vote went down in Oklahoma, Massachusetts passed a law regulating the sale of pork or poultry and veal products from facilities that violated their standards on cages, using cages. So that's just a taste of what's to come, I think. And within the last few weeks, the governor of California has signed into legislation a mandate to reduce the methane gas. And I believe it's 40%. I forget the year that it's got to reach that. They want to reduce the 40% or by 40%. But there's only one way I see to do that, first of all, and that's reduce the number of cattle. So if I've been running 100 head of cattle, they can maybe come out and tell me I've got to go down to 60 in order to meet those restrictions. Those are just things that we were trying to prevent. This legislature we have now, they understand that. That's the reason they voted almost unanimously, not quite, 13 or 14 out of the whole legislature, I think, that dissented. But most of them said, yes, we need to get this protection in place because they've seen what's coming. So I called it a preventative bill. It's not going to affect me right now and my generation. But I sure believe it's going to affect my grandchildren.
Let's talk about maybe one thing that's going on right now, and that's this release this week, last 24 hours, in fact, by USDA, the new GPSR rules, three different rules packaged up, help for the poultry sector, but also there's concern that it will have impact on beef cattle and on pork as it relates especially to our value-added programs. Your thoughts about what USDA has done here and these final days of the Obama administration?
Well, they did a lot. On the other hand, maybe they didn't do anything. I believe one of the proposals that came out of those were that if nothing was corrected in the first 60 days of the new administration, then these things would take a place, would go into effect and take place. I have no idea how the next administration will approach those regulations. I do think that the president-elect has verbally expressed his interest in agriculture production and reviewed and understands what agriculture exports do to our gross output for the United States and how important our exports are. So, and he talks about trade. Well, that's where we've got to have it. However, I can tell you the beef people right now are not too happy because – and really all the meat exporters with the Trade Promotion Authority. And there's some say without that we turn it over to the Chinese to regulate trade. Boy, a lot of questions there. And we'll just have to watch and see how it develops.
For 2017, what are some priorities, you know, that you are pointing out to your annual meeting where you'll set fresh policy in February? But for 2017, as you start the year, what are some things that are important to AFR?
Well, a couple of the major things that we're seeing come in from the countryside, from our members, really concern over the budget. And as rural Oklahoma always has, been very concerned over education. And rural Oklahoma has always done more than their part for education. They've supported their local schools. Do they want their property taxes raised out in the country so they can ship that money into urban areas? I think probably there would be a big problem there. We have always been an advocate that each local community should have the authority to make its own decisions on funding its own local needs. We're very strong on local governments. And so that's one thing. Another thing that I know is we fight it every year, and it seems to be getting closer and closer regarding the tax exemption on agriculture input and input items. And, you know, we don't have the margins today. If we were to lose that, farmers who are already not able to pay their bills, and let's say an average of 8.5% is added on to all of their purchases, their input costs of feed and seed and repairs, et cetera. They don't have that margin. It's not there. And production agriculture is highly capital intensive. Mm-hmm. And most of those go to the input cost and paying for those. The downfall is farmers and ranchers are not asking for anything other than other manufacturing, except the realization that we're price takers and not price makers. Mm-hmm. All other people involved in our economy have an opportunity to pass their input costs on to the next chain, mm-hmm. The next part in the chain. But we don't. We eat it. And if we have more of those kind of things that we have to eat, there's going to be some people out there that won't be able to eat. And also, we need to consider our state economy and all around the perimeters of our state. We're kind of large scale today. I could take my 18-wheeler and go to another state that would give me the exemption and bypass my local supplier. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen to those businesses, agribusinesses around the perimeter of the state? So a whole lot of things to consider. The legislature always has come with a common sense decision. And I'm very encouraged. Our President Pro Tem, I know, is very involved and educated and informed about agriculture. And so we'll just hope democracy will work and common sense will prevail.
Okay. Very good.